Welcome to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 10 minutes past 12 and a pretty chilly 11 degrees. It's not much of a day, although we had the sun out for a couple of minutes ago, but Greg said it was only just a tortoise. Anyway, we have with us today Heidi from Anchor, and welcome, Heidi.
Thank you, Alan. How are you this afternoon now?
I'm very good, probably like everybody else, a bit cool, but anyway.
Oh, well, it's winter, first day.
So we've got a long way to go yet, so it's not much good as quickly, just Heidi, what do you do with Anchor yourself?
I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Anchor and have been for about 7 years now.
When we finish at 1 o'clock, I need to have a quick word with you if I could. On another matter, but anyway.
That's
not what we're here to talk about. And I believe we're going to talk about, let me just check my notes, the National Reconciliation Week. I believe we're smack in the middle of that. Am I right?
We are. And I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land that we are on today and pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge that land was never ceded.
Right. So I guess I have a feeling of what it's about, what this week is all about. But, I mean, we may have listeners who aren't. So just tell me what the focus of the week is and we'll take it from there.
Sure. So the focus of the week, it did start last Thursday, the 26th of May, with Sorry Day, which was when Kevin Rudd delivered the national apology to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who were part of the Stolen Generations, when the government had a policy of assimilating all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and took them forcibly from their parents to many different places to carry out that activity. So it starts with Sorry Day, but I guess it's a week where we all recognise that we need to build better relationships with Aboriginal people, walk alongside them, and to walk on a journey of reconciliation. I mean, reconciliation is actually about improving relationships. It's about understanding each other, understanding the truth of what happened, and coming to a point of that reconciliation. But it is a very long journey. Anchor is really excited because we've now had our first Reconciliation Action Plan approved by Reconciliation Australia, and our journey is going to be around working alongside Aboriginal controlled organisations. We've got UNA out there in the valley, as well as we've got some others that we work alongside to repair some of the damage of the past, if we can, if that's not possible, to actually increase the likelihood of success and hope and comfort for the future for Aboriginal people.
All right, Heidi, look, I've just got to take a quick break. I've got to say, and I'll tell the listeners, it's absolutely pouring down here. We had the sun out about a minute ago, but it is pouring down. So if you're out on the roads, take care. All right, we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Sure.
Should have known by the tone of my voice, maybe, that you did. is Jenny Webb, and you're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
I'm not too sure whether it's the sound of the heavy rain on the roof or whatever, but all of a sudden I feel cold, so I had to go and put a coat on. Heidi, look, I'll run something past you while we're talking about this just to see whether I'm right or wrong. One of the problems that I see, we've spent millions on the Indigenous people, but it seems to me that we've tried to tell them what we want them to do rather than them tell us what they want. Is that a fair comment?
Absolutely, Alan. I think that's really quite true. I think that... That our culture has, and people in our living in our culture and our white culture, have really not understood what it's like to live in an Aboriginal culture, and whereby money, yes, it's important, but a feeling of connection and family, etc., is far more important. And I think that that any amount of money is not going to heal the trauma of many thousands of Aboriginal parents, mothers particularly, having their children forcibly removed for them, for often for very little reason. So yes, you're probably right. Money isn't always the answer to everything, but it is part of the solution. If we can, as you say, encourage Aboriginal controlled organisations, I've mentioned Una before, encourage them and support them to actually deliver to their community what they know works for their community, and not having the overlay of our white lens on it.
I just have that feeling, and particularly I know when we talk about Indigenous health, we've spent billions on that over many, many years, but just seems to be always that it's, hey, we know best, this is what you should have, not necessarily... And we build bureaucracies with the money and all that sort of stuff, and it hasn't actually gone to what the people need themselves. I mean, that's just my opinion, and I may be far off.
I think you're right to some degree, Alan, in the sense that that... trying to fix one issue on its own, like health, as an individual issue, is not really understanding the complexity of issues. So, you can spend money on nice new health facilities and things, but if Aboriginal people don't feel that they're a safe place for them to go to get treatment for whatever, they won't be going. And I think, as I say, we're talking about a complexity of issues. I heard a horrifying statistic a couple of weeks ago across Australia that 1 in 10 Aboriginal people actually experience homelessness every year in Australia.
Gee.
And that horrified me. And so that says to me that accommodation, bricks and mortar, is very, very important. And I think we know if you don't sort of tackle all the problems or all the issues at once, just throwing a lot of money at one thing like health is not always going to fix it.
No. Again, it's pardon me, it seems to always come back to the fact that we want to tell people that this is the way it has to be, rather than finding out what's going to work for them.
Absolutely. And I guess, the Reconciliation Action Plan that ANCA has put together, we've spent probably the best part of almost 3 years now talking, yarning with Aboriginal people to ask them what it was they wanted us to do. Wanted ANCA to do. How do they see it best that we, that we go on that reconciliation journey? So, things that we've put into our plan, such as increasing the number of Aboriginal staff, having all of our staff and our board trained and versed in cultural competence, was what Aboriginal people said to us was very important to them.
So
that's what
more,
they said was important.
Sorry, it's more important for them for the answers to come from the bottom up rather than from the top down.
Absolutely. And, I'm incredibly indebted to the Aboriginal people that have walked with us for the last 2 or 3 years on this journey. I've learnt so much from them about what really is important and actually, what makes it easier and smoother a way for them to access this, any services they need. I mean, we provide services. We're at the pointy end. We deal with people that are homeless. We provide support services to children that need to be in out-of-home care because living in their birth family is unsafe, and also to young people who find themselves homeless at a young age but want to finish their education and want to, you know, transition into adulthood successfully. So we deal with the pointy end. And my question was, you know, a number of years ago to my board of saying to them, if I felt that even one Aboriginal person looked at us and felt that they didn't belong and that we couldn't help them, I felt that we had failed. And I said, and I never want to feel like that. I want to always feel like we are open, we are safe, and that Aboriginal people can approach us for assistance. And that's important.
Heidi, Heidi, do you think that one of the problems, because we're going right back to when the And we're talking a generation ago, where the young children were taken away, has that created a problem with trust that they don't trust the white people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we put ourselves in those shoes, you know, and I went to a reconciliation event last week on Thursday, and there were a number of people from the stolen generation, so older people, you know, probably have more 70s and 80s this year, and also many of their descendants. And I can tell you it's still as raw as the day it all happened for them. Absolutely it is. And it's, I mean, you know, they obviously have to soldier on and live life and live life for their own children and their grandchildren and so forth. But, gee, the pain is still palpable, absolutely palpable. And you see it at those sorts of events. The pain is so deep. And I was moved, actually. I was very moved by the ceremony.
Heidi, I'm just going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
Ain't got time, fix the floor. Ain't got time, all the pain. You know, two men, no, we no pain. Ain't gonna need this.
welcome back to Community Connections. I have with me the CEO of Anchor, Heidi. Heidi, could you? Is there any? We're talking about the stolen generation at the moment. Is there any facts and figures around that tells us how many percent of those people eventually found their children? Because I suspect it's fairly low.
Look, I'm afraid I don't actually have the numbers of how many of those people found their children. I would suggest that it's a fair portion.
Is it?
It really depends on where the children went to, whether they were, whether they went to a mission or residential care services or, wherever they went. I think sadly what you'll find is that potentially a lot of the parents passed away before the children were adults or sort of old enough to go finding places. I think the thing is that, as I say, I think each case was very different, but I think what we know is that a lot of the children that were taken were basically told not to speak their language, not to think about their culture anymore, to just really give all of that away. And so many, many people took a long time to take the initiative to go and find their birth parents because they were told that they were not allowed to, and it was very, very, very painful. But I think a lot of people were reunited, but I think it was very too late for lots of people too.
Were they given any help to find? Were the children given any help, or did the government not?
Yes, I believe. There's a number of Aboriginal controlled organisations, family finding organisations that will assist Aboriginal people to find their, their relatives, potentially parents, things like that. So, even in today's world, where I've got children. Very young children who are removed from Aboriginal carers and maybe birth parents or whatever, and it takes a long time to find different family members to see whether there's anybody else they can live with. So I think what we know still is that a lot of these families are still very fractured. I was working in the Northern Territory only 10 years or so ago, and it was not necessarily uncommon for people that I met, Aboriginal people, not to have a birth certificate or have any access, or their birth was not registered. That also is in our white society, it's pretty difficult if you don't have some of those milestone kind of bits of documentation. It's pretty tough.
Heidi, you were saying, we're talking about the stolen generation is it still now, going on?
I'm really sad, Alan, to say that yes, it is. Unfortunately, Aboriginal children are way overrepresented in our out-of-home care system. In Australia, Indigenous children, are represented. So one in six Indigenous children receive child protection services in Australia. That's massive.
It's a
massive number of children. In Victoria, 9,000. We have a total of 9,095 children in out-of-home care, and a staggering 2,450 of those are actually Indigenous. So you can see that they're still highly represented in the care services, and I think that still we're struggling. Aboriginal families are still really struggling to keep a safe environment for their children. As I talked about before, poverty, housing, health, mental health, all of those issues impact. And so Aboriginal parents are still really struggling to provide their child and their children with safe care. And sometimes it's very necessary that the children come into care for a period of time. Sometimes that's necessary, but it's just not the ideal. We'd much rather strengthen Aboriginal families so that they have good housing, good health care. They've got, enough finances to live a life so that we don't have to have Aboriginal children in care. But yeah, they're still very overrepresented.
That's
we see a lot of intergenerational trauma whereby the stories of what happened only a couple of generations ago are passed down. Una, you know, there was a young woman that I know that works at Una. Her mother also works at Una, and her mother, who is really not a dissimilar age to me, was a part of the Stolen Generations. And so that woman is still here. She's still part of our community. So that trauma of what's happened to those people and perhaps their parents or who are now grandparents, it's still there in the community. And as I say, unfortunately, Aboriginal people are not doing well. Many of them are not doing well. They're overrepresented in our homelessness services. So a third of the people that we see coming in seeking our services up there in Lilydale because they're homeless are Aboriginal people. So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do.
and I believe they're overrepresented in the courts too, aren't they?
Absolutely. You know, I think, they are. And, you know, we know often it's an accumulation of more minor offences. But, you know, there's maybe no way to pay fines or, you know, someone doesn't have a house, so they're often on the street, you know, intoxicated or whatever. And so, you know, it's a slippery slope. And then they find themselves in the justice system. You know, often really because they're not criminals, but because they're disadvantaged.
I suppose this is, you're going to tell me this is impossible to tell me because it's too wide a question. But why? I know that you're going to say there's hundreds of different sort of reasons. Is there one factor that seems to be coming through a lot of these cases as to why the children haven't been taken care of, why they're in the courts, or is that just unfair to ask?
Look, I think there's a reflection that I have. I don't think there is one silver bullet. No, there isn't. But I do think that we're still in a mode where us as a white community are still working towards understanding Aboriginal culture, respecting it, understanding it, and understanding how it protects Aboriginal people. And therefore, then, anything that we do or money that's available, resources, is channeled through that funnel of culture. And I think we're still learning about that. It's very different for us. It's very, very, very different. If we have disadvantage, you know, it's like, oh, well, this will just fix it. Whereas that's not part of Aboriginal culture, is just fixing things overnight. So I don't think there's a silver bullet, but I do think that if us as white people can move further towards Aboriginal people, get closer to them, understand their culture, understand what's important to them, walk alongside them, share resources, etc., we'll start to see some things turning around. And I think, you know, when I reflect on my professional life, I started 40 years ago in this field. I can tell you, we didn't know anything about it back then, 40 years ago. I feel ashamed to say. So I'm still learning. I'm learning every day.
All right, Heidi, I'll just take one more quick break and we'll be back with more. We'll be right back.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
I have with me Heidi from Anchor. She's the CEO down there, and we're talking about the National Reconciliation Week, which is just about finished, but it is on this week. Heidi, this is probably another question that you're going to tell me is too big to answer, and probably trying to make it a bit too simple, but is part of the problem that we have never respected, or up to now haven't respected, the culture? Is it that we just, well, A, we don't understand it, B, we've never tried to understand it, and so therefore the gap gets wider? Is that fair, or...?
I think that's quite true, I think that, yeah, that also too, that some parts of Aboriginal culture, it's actually quite complex. I think we thought that it was actually all really quite simple, and that we'd be able to learn it in a week or in a day or whatever, but it's quite complex. And what I think we do know is that Australia, as we know it now, was once hundreds of Aboriginal countries. I mean, we're on Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nations.
Yep.
But there was countries, many countries, and I'm sure hopefully some people have seen that map where there's lots of beautiful colours of lots of different countries. And so each country, as we do and as we expected, had some different parts of the culture. So they did some things differently. They might have made tools differently, or they might have lived slightly differently. They had a different language. And I think that, we've underestimated the complexity of Aboriginal culture. We thought it was just, sort of some instruments or some tools or some language or whatever, but it's actually very, very complicated. And I think that because of the way that that colonisation was performed and dispossession of people's lands and people having to move, long distances because they weren't able to live on their traditional lands, what's ended up happening is that actually a lot of bits of culture, particularly language, have been lost. They've been trying to be found, but it's a little bit of a patchwork. So it is complex. So, as I say, I think you've got to be committed, and I know I, as the CEO of Anchor, and I'm committed on behalf of our organisation to keep learning. I even learnt stuff last week, at the event. Just keep learning, keep your mind open, because you don't know everything. And Aboriginal, I mean, I've spoken to many Aboriginal people who come from a particular land, and they don't profess to know what goes on somebody else's land.
No,
absolutely not. So I worked with somebody who was very senior in VACA, which is another Aboriginal controlled organisation out in the area, and he came from Far North Queensland. And, when I first met him, 5-6 years ago, and I said, oh, look, I'm really interested in Aboriginal culture locally and whatever, and he said, you know what, so am I. Because I actually don't know.
No.
I don't know. I'm still asking questions. I'm still learning. So, you can see that it's complex. So we've got to be committed, I think, at every turn to stop, to listen, and don't jump ahead.
Dispossessing them out off some of their land, as you've just said, have we created a problem too by putting together two groups or three groups that really had nothing in common?
I don't know. I'm not a genius at history, but I think I think it would be fairly nonsensical for us to say, well, yes, if you put somebody from one country and put them into another country forcibly, then that could cause some problems. And I mean, Aboriginal people but this is what acknowledgement's about and welcoming to country, is that if I walk onto your lands, that's a sacred thing. I can only walk onto your land if you invite me to.
Yeah.
So, with the white people coming in and saying, well, this group will go and live over here and this one will go and live over there, well, actually, they might not have even had the opportunity to talk to the other tribes or the other traditional owners of land to say, is this all right that we come and live on your land?
Yeah, just put them there.
that we just put them there, and we just expected, well, you know, we would all get on with it. So I think, look, it's Alan, the more I learn, the more I know I've got to learn.
The more you don't know. I've just got to take one more quick break. Heidi, we'll be back with more. And I suggest the people bring their paper and pencil with them because we'll tell them how to contact you and what's going on in the next couple of days.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown. We have grown. Although our love is still special, let's take a chance and fly away somewhere alone.
It's been too long since we took the time. No one's to blame. My no time flies so quickly.
In a couple of minutes, we'll ask you to give us some contact details for Anchor and find out more. Sure. But what's coming up in the next, I know it's nearly over Reconciliation Week. Is there anything special in the Yarra Valley coming up in the next few days?
Look, usually the council do something, but I haven't heard. So, no, I can't tell you that there is.
Yep.
Off the top of my head, sorry.
No, that's not a problem. I threw it to you as a bit of curveball, but I guess they could always look up the Yarra Valley Council.
Yeah. I would suggest so.
So you've got us a bit. First of all, I've got to ask you, and I'm not being rude here, you've got something on your on your top. Is that a fun run or what was that?
No. It's actually a long distance swim. So I'm a long distance swimmer in the ocean.
Have you?
So that's a ten kilometre classic.
10 kilometres.
Yeah, bows open water swim. Yeah.
Where did you?
Out of Black Rock Yacht Club.
Oh yeah, and how often? Once a year.
That race is once a year, but yeah, I swim all the time, all year. So no wetsuit, in the cold. So yeah.
Always long distance.
Yeah.
The cold weather, like.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm not going to go down with that. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. Heidi, you've got us a bit excited about Anchor and we want to find out more about it. How are we going to go about finding out more about it, Vice?
Yeah, yes. Look, if you would like to, we have a main number at our head office, which is 8761 9040, and I would suggest using that number if you are interested in speaking to someone about potentially being a foster carer. So that is one thing that we are looking for, is foster carers. We are pretty desperately looking for foster carers. And as a foster carer, you can be a single person, a younger person, an older person, as long as you have a bedroom available for a child or young person. We'd love to speak to anybody who's interested in that. So 8761 9040,
yep.
You can talk to somebody. Our website is anchor, A-N-C-H-O-R, like the anchor, .org.au.
Yep.
And you will see on our website a lot of what we're doing around National Reconciliation Week and our RAP plan. And what I note on our website at the moment that just is outstanding is that we had a young artist from Hillsville do some artworks for us, a girl called Tegan Boyce, and she has done the most amazing artwork for us. She's done 4 artworks, and you can see those on our website. They're absolutely beautiful, and we will be using them in a lot of our advertising material and the website and so forth. So you'll see Tegan come straight up on our website, and that's just beautiful. If you're finding that housing is a problem for you, or that you're not able to pay the rent, perhaps some things have gone wrong for you, I would suggest that you ring our housing team up there at Lilydale, and their number is 9760 6400, and they're open Monday to Friday 9 to 5, and they are very happy to talk to anybody who gives them a call. Even if you wonder whether they might be able to help you, please ring them. Don't sit back and worry about whether you can pay rent or not, whether an electricity bill is going to kick you over the edge. We don't want to see people fall into homelessness at all. It's a very traumatic experience. I'm sure people are getting a bit scared now about this, given the house, the housing market and so forth. Please give our team a ring, 9760 6400, to see what they might be able to do for you.
Heidi, do you have a Facebook page?
We do have a Facebook page. It's Anchor Incorporated. Yes, please look us up on Facebook. Yes, we have. We're quite active on those pages and share a lot. And, in fact, there's some lovely posts of us at the National Reconciliation Week activity at Knox Council, myself and a whole group of my staff, which is was a beautiful day. Yeah. Oh,
that's terrific. Heidi, yeah. So I'd like to – we're unfortunately run out of time. I'd like to have talked a little bit more about foster care. So you're really desperate at the moment for
– We really are. We're really looking for people who can join us. Look, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do.
Yep.
There's a new Fostering Connections campaign out called Play Your Part. We're asking people in the community to play their part. There are many others of us who also play a part in the foster care space, but, people who can open up their homes play a very important part. We know that it can change a child's life to have one stable, loving adult in their lives. It can make them feel like they're wanted. And that they've got hope. So absolutely, if you ring 8761 9040, please talk to us. Or even if you're not sure.
Heidi, give us a ring. Unfortunately, I've got to go.
You're probably Alice, but we'll see you next time for the music.
Yeah, look, Heidi, also, I will get you to hang on for one other minute if I could.